The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studio, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Chicago's home for every game of Chicago Cubs baseball.
It's got a chance! Cubs win!
And Chicago Bulls basketball.
Go there! Bull game over!
We are Sports Radio 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. And Odyssey Station.
The Score!
Bye-bye.
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out!
Top of the hour is being brought to you by DuckDuckGo Privacy Simplified. Big shout out to Ray Diaz. He took over the show starting on Monday, and I think that you can hear how good he is production-wise and coming up with ideas. So, and in the last two segments, you've heard how good he is. So I see people in the Twitch stream that are enjoying what they're hearing from Ray, which means you have to keep it at that same level. And or exceed it, Ray. So
Diaz, is it Diaz? Proud of you, man.
Now, thank you. Well, I'm sitting now behind Chris Tannehill every day, so I have, you know, I've always looked up to that guy.
Well, and he dubbed it.
We all do.
He dubbed it, I believe yesterday was the first time I heard it, the Diaz difference.
Yes.
That's the Diaz difference in our afternoons. We are feeling it and appreciative of it. And
there's no doubt about that. Next week, we got a lot of baseball. Steve Stone is going to join me to start the show on Monday at 12:25. It'll be really, really good. And we didn't get to the interview that I did with Sean King. I'm going to put the whole interview, because we talked for about an hour on House of L, but I specifically pulled a part that I think Bears fans will be interested in. And now I'm glad that we didn't do it today, because I am looking forward to Parkins and Spiegel talking with Justin Fields' quarterback coach, because it might lend more context to the conversation that I had with Sean King.
Yeah, we're excited for this. Tons of that Bulls game, fascinating on a lot of levels.
Oh my God, I wish I had more time to talk about.
There's a lot of show. There's a lot of show today. A
lot of show today, and obviously the Pollock trade we will discuss at length, and I'm sure we'll get to it in transition. But we're gonna do like a football hour today, 3 o'clock hour. Ron Veal, who's been Justin Fields' quarterback coach since sixth grade, will be on the show, and then Joe Banner, 20 years as a president, CEO, Browns and Eagles, knows Ian Cunningham pretty well,
great.
And also praised Ryan Poles. And like he's like, it's painful, Bears fans, but this is how you have to actually build something sustainable. So we're going to talk to him about the offseason.
There are a lot of people who feel that this is a one-year deal for Ian Cunningham.
Right.
That he's gone to be somebody's GM.
Someone will come find him. Yeah, next year.
But Joe Banner tweeted on Monday about it, like, this is the way it's done, Bears fans. I know it's uncomfortable, like Danny's saying, but like, have some faith and understand that this is the way it's done, which I think would be a good perspective for people to hear.
Yeah, so, the quarterback coach industry is fascinating.
It really is.
So he has been Justin Fields' quarterback coach since sixth grade.
Man.
You know who else he has coached basically that long?
Trevor Lawrence.
I was going to say Trevor Lawrence.
That's correct. And those guys have been coming up through the pipeline together, in the 7-on-7 camps, number one recruit, number two recruit.
Don't say that, peasant.
Little Nicky.
Oh, Little Nicky. Man, that's like my favorite person in the world, Nick Wright. It's still so funny to me that he's on this level of the industry of like pseudo celebrity and like all the athletes.
I wouldn't say pseudo, so he's a celebrity.
And all the athletes know him and they like dap him up at the club. Like, so KD gets done playing a national TV game where Giannis beats him in overtime, and within 15 minutes he's tweeting at my friend. Like, it's such a weird, it's a weird thing.
And he had to go search for it, right?
Oh yeah, Nick didn't add him. He's just searching his mentions, and like, I'm sure someone added him.
Someone tipped
from
him
what
off.
You described, like, it wasn't even like out of line.
No, so Nick said something to the effect of, "I legit feel bad for KD. He's always been second best, number two recruit, number two pick, number two to LeBron, and then when he arguably passes LeBron, he gets passed by Giannis." And Kevin Durant responds and says, "Don't feel bad, little Nicky, for a god. My life's great," or something like that. And then Nick, you come at him, he's not going to just let you have the last word. We're similar in that way. He responds to Kevin Durant and says, "If you're a god, what does that make Giannis?" And KD said, "Also a god, but you're a peasant." And yeah, and that's where we left off.
Didn't,
and Nick
didn't
Wright
he say that he could be a god?
Yeah, he said you could be a god if he wasn't acting this way. So he's a peasant.
I mean, that's good.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Try to take that and do something with
it. Yeah. Nick sent me the initial tweet from Durant and I about him like being a god and his life being awesome. And I was like, I mean, he's not wrong. Like, if you've seen his investment portfolio, like, and I'm just like rattled off some things that he had gotten in on early. And then he responded with his snarky tweet and he was like, "This is your fault, Parkins." He's like, "You made me get all petty." And I'm like, dude, don't even put that evil on me. I know you were going to respond that way anyway. And then Little Nicky was trending on Twitter for like 12 hours, which I think is hilarious. So
that
Little
was a
Nicky,
movie, right?
Yeah, the bad Adam Sandler.
Yeah,
movie.
It was a devil, right?
Yeah. Son of the devil.
Is that
what
he was?
Yeah. Mm. Little Nicky Wright. Oh, it's so good. So good.
I'm sorry, I totally derailed.
No,
what you
did
were
you guys see
about.
That game? I mean, it was a fun game.
Nets and Bucks.
Yeah, yeah. So Giannis
bits and pieces. That was
I was focused on a
Bulls
different
clips.
Basketball game. Yeah,
no,
yeah.
Me too. That game started an hour earlier.
He's a double screener,
and so that game ended earlier. And the end of that game was insane. And so now in the last 2 days or two games, Giannis went toe to toe with Embiid and won. And blocked his shot in the last seconds, and then went toe-to-toe with Durant, and won with a crazy block and a game-tying three to send it to overtime.
When's there been a race to the end for MVP? Like, usually you kind of know.
Yeah. Jokic and Embiid last year was pretty good, and then Jokic pulled away
at the
end.
You got Jokic, you got Embiid, and now Giannis is like, I'm still here. I'm over here.
We also have three guys over 30 points a game. If LeBron can play, what, three more so he qualifies?
He said today he's done. LeBron announced today he's done for the season.
So
smart move.
So that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen then, because there hasn't been three people over 30 points a game since 2004, I believe.
And Giannis is doing it. I've said it now, I think, on three consecutive shows, but I just think it is worth repeating. He's averaging 33 minutes a game. He's not, like, he's max effort when he's on the court, but he's clearly also coasting for the playoffs. So you know what I mean? Like, he's not wearing himself down. Come the postseason, he's going to start averaging 38 minutes a night.
Well, let's say it differently. They're not wearing him down.
Like, I'm sure he would play more if allowed.
He'd play every minute.
Yeah, but I just think that's, to me, that is a worthy thing to think about when discussing MVP, because if he was playing a few more minutes and was leading the league in scoring and had the counting stats, everyone would think he was the MVP. And he's a two-time MVP and a finals MVP, and we saw what he did last year in the finals.
Like, and how about in last night's game, and he did it in the finals last year, a perceived weakness, he comes through, and he makes the free throws.
Oh, man, it was an April Fool's joke on LeBron?
Yeah, this is what I'm looking at right now. I'm like, what? Because they're they're 11.
He tweeted it out himself.
Yeah,
he
of course. Said, it's April Fool's.
He had an injury.
He said, see you in the fall.
Okay. April Fool's I thought tomorrow.
I thought you meant he was done for the regular season, would come back in the playoffs, because they're battling to get...
They're not locked into the playoffs.
No.
I thought his injury had him out. Oh, I got
that's good. Here I am beating myself up for missing something like that, and nah, Danny just got God. It's okay.
I had a texter.
All right, Speaks, you're solo today. I'm going home.
I had a texter earlier that was like, are you going to talk about... The first text was like, Cap got big money, and I was like, yeah, congratulations to Cap. I'm talking about David Kaplan, because he's got the new TV show, right? Over, and so this guy's like, are you gonna talk about it? I'm like, no.
The Kaepernick tweet that was going around.
I was like, Cap has his own radio show. And this guy's like, I didn't know that. I didn't know that he had his own radio show. I guess the people in Boston probably knew that. I was like, oh, my friend. Oh, I think I know what's going on here.
Yeah.
I think you may have gotten got. And he's like, oh, man. I thought Kaepernick was back in the league.
Man, I did see that Cap was going to be the captain of the Michigan spring game.
That is legit.
Jim Harbaugh, his former coach in San Fran, bringing Cap in up there.
I like that idea.
Kind of fun. Sure.
Now I don't know what's real and what's not.
This is the day, man.
That Giannis game was real last night, right?
That was real. And DeMar going for 50 was very
50 real.
And also that call on Paul George for the three-point foul was also very real last night.
Am I a hater for saying the Bulls were incredibly lucky?
No, they were.
Incredibly lucky.
The way that the Clippers played the last minute of that game, they should be ashamed of it. The way that they played it, how they tried to play it out. You had Playoff P doing some stuff. Like, when that wasn't working, when the Paul George ISO, it hadn't been working all game. Caruso did a great job of D'ing him up. They were better off with Reggie Jackson initiating the offense and then making things happen with the bigs last night. And Paul George called a bunch of, like, ISOs, and he didn't hit the shots. And then defensively, I don't know what the hell they were doing.
Well, also, I mean, and listen, good job by DeMar, I guess, because of the result. And he's amazing at drawing fouls. That's a terrible shot. Going for the win in that spot, like... Taking a 25-footer?
Remember the two buzzer beaters he hit? One,
yeah, back-to-back.
Only person has ever done it.
That were deep ones. And remember when remember when he beat the Lakers and Clippers on the same weekend? Some nights that dude just feels it, and he's probably right.
And I was,
like,
he
just has that magic sometimes.
I was talking to Ray. I felt like it was causal that he got the bejesus screened out of him in the third quarter. Like, his teammates didn't call it out. He got knocked to the floor was looking around like, "What you? Why aren't you guys calling this out?" And was like, "You know what? Screw this mess. Give me the rock and let me work."
There's a lot of luck in there. Paul George on a minutes restriction, so he's riding the pine
in
overtime.
Play at all in the overtime.
And I mean, how many? You don't see that away from the ball foul call all that often.
No, that was crazy.
Like, you know, so just the whole sequence was now. Credit to the Bulls. They were down big early. They kept fighting. They came back. They dominated overtime. DeMar was great. Patrick Williams was great. The whole thing wasn't lucky, but the last 60 seconds was pretty much dumb luck.
It was no, it wasn't just dumb luck. It was also bad team.
The Clippers imploded, but I mean, I guess it's lucky to have them be that dumb. And I still think the DeRozan shot is a bad shot.
Well, sure, but it's also a mad charge from being down, what, 16?
Yeah. Credit for that.
It's that confluence.
They had to double
them
up to tie the game at the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
So one of my favorite things, excuse me as I segue, but I love when a trade like this happens with the baseball teams and they play in the exact same spot, like the Dodgers and the White Sox.
They share a complex.
Yeah.
Let's go over there.
Craig Kimball's already in a Dodgers uniform and talking to the media. I mean, that's like 3 hours ago.
AJ, you go over there.
Yeah, exactly. And Kimball just said that he's excited to put on his closer shoes again with the Dodgers after having a different role with the White Sox. And there's what the problem was the entire time.
He's got
his yeah. He was wearing the wrong shoes.
He was wearing the eighth inning shoes. The eighth inning shoes were either too tight or too loose, or the laces were a color that bothered him. It's just now that he's got the ninth inning shoes on again.
Ethan Katz should have been able to figure that out. He should have found the right shoes.
Needed
for
a better shoe guy.
Ba, 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 da.
It's a fascinating trade. It's a fascinating resolution. To the problem.
I think it's a very positive resolution to the problem.
It absolutely is, but it does bring one final bit of perspective on the problem, which is a full-on admission that that dude needs to close or he's not himself.
Yeah, well, and that you weren't able to figure it out with him, and all of the consternation, like, feel a little vindicated in the they're not done. Like, you don't do all of the things that they have done over the last 13, 14 months to then just not keep improving your roster. Like, they might not win a World Series, but I really do not believe it is going to be for a lack of resources thrown at the problem. They just did it in a different order than White Sox fans wanted it done. And Bob Nightingale immediately sang, and now they're in on Manaea. Like, if they had Manaea,
they're playing today, right? So you could have the same situation where go over there.
How hilarious would it be if they had Pollock, Harrison, Manaea, and Kelly all in one offseason, and then all of a sudden White Sox fans are like, I'm sorry, Rick. I'm sorry, we doubted you.
I think White Sox fans are more than willing to say that if that is the
sure.
case.
Sure.
I know I am.
It'd be a hilarious outcome. Especially if it's all done by opening day.
Yeah, I hear you, but the Pollock ad doesn't happen without the Kimbrel money being part of it going away.
Correct.
So
it's almost an even trade when you think of the buyout and Pollock.
Right. And you know,
but it's a player option too, right? Like, so he can also opt in for next year.
He could opt in for next year. I will be shocked if he does.
I mean, it depends what kind of season he has. He's 34. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's no guarantee that he's getting.
He's on the team for next year.
I think so, too. Because if you're Rush, you're opting into that Lakers deal, aren't you? No matter what.
Yeah. There's no guarantee that a 34-year-old.
No, it's true. It's true. But we'll see what the outfield market is. And the dude was really good last year.
Yeah. If he plays well, I'm sure he'll think he can get a multi-year deal. But if anything happens, the guy gets hurt. He doesn't play a ton of games, right?
He averages 90 games a year.
Right. Yeah, he hasn't played over 117.
Yeah,
117.
In a long time. He maxed out at 157, but that was a long time ago.
Yeah, so like this is it's an imperfect solution, but to also an imperfect problem. Like I get why both teams made it, but it's a fascinating move. And what the dude can hit.
Yeah, dude.
If he plays, he can hit.
Dude can absolutely hit. He used to really be able to run. He can still run a little. He used to really be able to throw, and he was a center fielder with a good arm. Then he's been a left fielder with a suitable arm, like a base level arm. He's only played 6 games in right field in his life, and that's because he's had elbow trouble many times. Before he was drafted, there was elbow trouble. There's been multiple elbow surgeries, had a massive infection a couple years ago on that same elbow. So it's, you know, I don't know how much he's going to be your defensive finishing right fielder. He's going to be your defensive finishing left fielder.
Yes. You're going to ideally have Adam Engel be that guy, right?
Yeah, but so then Pollock is what? Your defensive starting right fielder for several innings
that
of consequence.
That moves over to left once Aloy gets his last at bat.
Mm-hmm. That's what it'll be. And so it is imperfect, but it's good. It's so much better
imperfect
than where they were.
Kimbrel was imperfect.
Oh, Kimbrel wasn't useful. You didn't want... You're going to tell me you wanted Kimbrel over Joe Kelly or Kendall Graveman in the seventh or eighth inning,
no,
setting up Liam Hendricks?
It is... Like, it's
you didn't
such
want him anymore.
An interesting thing. And I got Stoney on Monday, and I can't wait to talk to him about it. We've all discussed it with Kimbrel. And before that, like, I remember having conversations in clubhouses with Matt Thornton about this. Great seventh, eighth inning guy. Put him in the ninth inning, falls apart. There's something in the human brain that doesn't allow guys to function, certain guys to function outside of their role, and it's fascinating.
Yeah, I still think it was a huge mistake, though, then not, once you realize that was with him.
Make the switch.
Not flipping him, because if it worked... Like, if Hendricks was fine, like he said.
And I think he would have been.
Then you've got two guys.
And he had gotten paid. And then you don't need to sign Kelly this offseason. And you have the money. And it's just cleaner.
Something happened between the deal and the execution of that. Because they all said they were going to do it. Flipping back and forth. Hendricks said he was game to do that. He's a guy who's pitched all over games. It made all the sense in the world.
He's gone multiple innings. Like, yep. He has not been rigid in his career.
No. I mean, I don't want to just put this on Kimbrel. It's possible that the White Sox pitching infrastructure couldn't reach him the same way that Rossi and the guys on the north side were able to. That's not an indictment. I'm just saying that maybe it's a personality thing or the way that you teach something that they weren't able to get him to the place that the Cubs had finally gotten
him
to.
They finally got him there, and Rossi and Kimbrel's relationship goes back a long time, so that was part of it. And he handled that very delicately when Craig wasn't rolling and took him out of the seventh and eighth and, you know, took him out of the ninth and rebuilt the confidence, but all the while knowing that he was going to go back there if things were good. If he figured it out, he knew he was going to go back there. Here, he knew he was never going there.
How about it being such a great landing spot for both guys? It's perfect for Kimbrel.
I think he's going to kill.
I do
LA.
Too.
Well, are Sox fans prepared for that? If you've got bullpen problems at any point and he has 40 saves and a sub
but
1 ERA.
But he wasn't your solution, though.
He wasn't going to do it here.
But could have been if you would have flipped him.
But they didn't.
What? But that's right. But so, like, when has that ever allowed fan bases to not have any sort of consternation over it?
I doubt that there's going to be any regret unless we're sitting here in October and the White Sox are going up against Craig Kimbrel and he closes them out.
You know, there's still people out there pointing out that, like, look, there was a velocity decline last year. And there was. You know, people pointing out he was bad all those other times with the Cubs except for that 4 months. And he was. But it is on record and it is known in multiple organizations that dude gets out of whack mentally and then he gets out of whack physically and then the stuff declines, including velocity. This is what happens to him. And people just are unwilling to accept that because it just goes against the data-driven approach. It goes
against
sensible
logic. Right. It goes against the logic of, well, if you can pitch, you can pitch and it shouldn't matter. It matters.
It's
one of those things about the game that the human element plays a huge role in.
Leadoff matters and closing matters. And I don't know how many others totally matter, but those two matter.
Lineup Easter right over here.
Yeah.
That's what you are.
Yeah. That's what I sit next to.
Ask Schwarber if leadoff matters.
Ron Veal, Justin Fields' quarterback coach. What did the Bears ask him to work on this offseason? He answers for us at 3 o'clock. Joe Banner, 3:40. Pat Tomasulo makes the rounds with us. 4 o'clock. Jerry Hairston Jr. from Dodgers TV on what this version of AJ Pollock is, 4:25.
Just so you guys know, I did kind of like a little bit more of a structured interview with Tomasulo because I figured you guys would just like have fun with him.
Yeah,
so you did what's more structure in terms of the special and that kind of thing.
Yeah, like what did it take to put into a special? Like I kind of did that and gave I whiteboarded some of his history as a comedian.
Oh, nice.
So that people knew that, because I figured it would be the chuckle hut with the three of you guys.
Yeah, we'll just let him bitch about his neighbors.
That's totally fine.
Yeah, it usually is. We've done the mechanics of stand-up with him before, but now it's great. We're gonna.
It's a really good special.
I watched it again last night.
I know that you were surprised at how good it was.
I meant it as in the nicest way. I knew I didn't have a better way to word it. So that's how I said it. It is what it is. And then our boy, because it's been 5 days since he's been in a warm weather location, he gets on an airplane tonight and goes to Arizona after the show.
It is. Oh, that's right. True.
4 play-by-play games in a row.
Yeah, 4 play-by-play games.
In case he
hasn't
mentioned it, I wanted to take care of it.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
No problem.
The first two with Elise Menneker. I'm looking forward to working with her tomorrow and Sunday, and then me and Ron Coomer on Monday and Tuesday. And then I can tell you, Lawrence, back on Wednesday, Thursday morning, it debuts my Beat the Streak Daily Inside the Hits podcast, a 10 to 15 minute podcast every morning.
I love Beat the Streak.
I know you do, to help you win at Beat the Streak.
I love when they do the reverse. Pick 9 guys that won't get a hit. I
flip
love
it on
when
you.
They do that one. That one's fun until it's not.
All right. Well, then you can be the guest on that day.
I'm down. Moment. Count
right,
me
cool.
in.
There we are.
All right, Lawrence, have a good weekend, man.
You guys have a wonderful weekend. I'll see you Monday.
Thank you. Busy day. We send you into the weekend. Tanny's Open kicks us off. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Too often, green laundry detergents come with a compromise. They're better for the planet, but worse at the one thing that matters most, cleaning your clothes. Dirty Labs believes you shouldn't have to lower your standards for the sake of sustainability. Using advanced green chemistry, they created a detergent that uses an entirely new cleaning engine, inspired by the genius of nature. If Dirty Labs can't make you believe in the power of green cleaning, nothing will. Fall in love, or it's free, at DirtyLabs.com.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple's Disney Refresh!